Here we are again making this place sacred. Not because it's got pews or hymnals, not because there is a pulpit or a steeple anywhere in sight, but because you are here. Let us begin in worship by giving worth to all we want out of life. Join me in inviting our best selves and a spirit of true peace and justice into this place by bringing our full hearts and minds and spirits into a world made fair, beginning now.
Each week in the center of our service, we invite everyone here to go into their center as well. It's a pretty unique thing that we get to do when we come to a place like this. How often in our week do we sit with 200 adults in silence and try and figure out what we want to do with our lives? I'll invite you at this point, if you have a candle to light in joy or concern of memory or hope, to begin at the back of the sanctuary, lighting candles down this way forward at the windows. And if not, to sit, to spend a few moments in prayer or meditation, remembering who we are and what we want to be. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. It is good to be here together. It is good to be here. It is good to be. There are so many things in this morning for which we can be thankful. For each other and our families, for the gifts of life and love. But there are so many things we carry with us too. All of the challenges in life and all of its strains and anxiety or embarrassment or fear. But it is good to be. We would pray those things that we want so bad that they must be said out loud in our lives. That we want more peace, more joy, and more love in this place and in all places. May our minds open to find more that is true. May our hands open to serve one another. May our hearts open in love. Amen. So a few months ago, I sat down at my computer and I opened up my email inbox, and there it was, a forward. You know, one of those forwards. It was one of those forwards that had a new piece of shocking information, one that I was supposed to share with my friends and family before it was too late. This was not the email informing me that one of our presidential candidates is a secret Muslim intent on turning our government over to Iran, although I have gotten that one. This was not the email telling me that there were droves of evil men waiting in the parking lot of Walmart or Target or the gas station waiting to attack the people that I love, although I got that one too. Is that just me? This email wanted to tell me something about a public figure who was not who he appeared to be. This was someone who represented our highest aspirations of family and learning and education. This was Mr. Rogers. This email told me that Fred Rogers had a violent criminal past he'd been hiding from me. That he had been forced to work on public television for children as part of his parole agreement. That Mr. Rogers had in fact spent time as a Navy SEAL with dozens of confirmed kills. And that those trademark sweaters were worn to cover the many tattoos he got from his time in battle. This email was far from honest, but it had me just for a minute. I got sucked into it. The truth about Mr. Rogers is far less shocking. He never spent any time in the military, but was instead ordained as a Presbyterian minister, and those lovely trademark sweaters were each hand-sewn by his mother. After I spent some time online, a good amount of time online trying to debunk this email, I was thinking to myself that my beloved internet had yet again stolen another precious hour of my life that I would never get back. And then I found something. In an interview on the television show in the 1980s called Our Magazine, Fred Rogers sat with the host and talked about his philosophy of children's programming and interactions with young people. "I'm sure you know this already," he said, "but the best thing you can ever do for anybody is to just be yourself. The best thing we could ever do for children, or anybody else for that matter," he said, "was to, quote, give them one more honest adult in their lives." Throughout the last few years, this church has been placing ads in the newspaper, one of which says, "Honest Religion." After I saw this interview on my computer, I got to thinking, I wonder what honest religion looks like when the rubber hits the road. I wonder what it would look like for a community like this to call us into giving to the world one more honest adult. Unitarian Universalist communities have for hundreds of years been working really hard to build this kind of honest spiritual life. We're building communities in which our members don't have to check their brains at the door, where you don't have to take anything for granted simply because you heard it in church, that everyone's expected to check out for themselves whether or not they see and hear in a place like this fits the real world with what our lives teach us. This is no simple religion. This is a religion that calls each and every one of us to wake up in the morning and not have some book or figure tell us what to think about ourselves. It calls us to get up every morning and ask, who am I really? What is it that moves me? Am I living the life that wants to live in me? I know that in my experience, when I slow down and try and honestly look at my religious life like this, I find two things that seem to kind of contradict each other at first. The first one is that I could be doing a lot better. I could be in better relationship with my friends or family, my community, or the things that I hold sacred. But on the other hand, I find that if we're really honest in religion, we find out that no person is more sacred than the other because of their religion or their sexual identity or where they were born. When I look honestly at myself in honest religion, I find that we're not as good as we could be yet, and we're more precious than we'll ever know. I'm willing to bet that there's at least someone else here in the room today who's found that it's not so simple to live an authentic life in our culture. One of the big tensions in our society is for people appearing to be something they're not, thinking it's going to give them more value. The lower and middle classes in our society are spending ourselves into more poverty, trying to look like the upper class. We're being fed ideas about what we should buy or sell that's going to make me appear smarter or better looking. In the film version of the book Fight Club, just roll with me here, one of the characters laments this about our society. Quote, "Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy things we don't need. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars." If this is what society is asking us to be, telling us we could be, I wonder what honest religion would ask of us. Before our time and before our movies, of course, people were dealing with the exact same kinds of issues. In the Christian tradition, the teacher Jesus told his disciples not to be deceived by a lot of what the world tells us, that your value in this world is never dependent on the sum of your possessions. The Buddha, I think, knew something similar too when he said that in a world so full of deception, where we can constantly cling to these ideas about who we are or what we're supposed to be, the most radical thing you can ever do is stop, sit, and be present for the world just as it is. I wonder if we could do something like that here today. Just stop. In the midst of a busy world telling us so many things about what we're supposed to be, and be real. For me, honest religion means trying to find out who I am in the world without using all these false stories that we tell ourselves. I mean, how many times have I told myself that because I failed once, I was never going to succeed again? How easy is it to replay that one stupid thing I said or that one mistake I made over and over and over again in my head until I start to believe that that's who I am? Let's have this place call us to give to the world one more honest adult. A lot of us, around 90%, if the UU statistics are correct, left traditions that told us that because we were human beings born into the world, we were so depraved we deserved hell simply for existing. A lot of us were told that we would never be able to make change in the world unless somebody came in from another place to do it for us. Let's be honest. We can't wait for that to happen if we want to see justice in this world. But I think that religious liberals have been telling kind of a false story about what it means to be a human being too. A lot of us, myself included, want to believe so badly that human beings are good, that we throw away the idea that we're 100% bad, and then take on the idea that we're 100% good. And we get really surprised when bad things happen. We're very shocked to see evil in the world. I think an honest religion is going to have to live with the tension that the 20th century gave us. That human beings can be beautiful and frightening, all at the same time. It's up to us. An honest religion just doesn't work for individuals, but our communities as well. If we want to throw that mantle out there into the public of honest religion, then we're going to have to be an honest church. It means that every time we get together on Sunday morning, we have to ask ourselves, why do we exist? What is it that we are called to do as this group of people? What is it that we serve? In being honest with ourselves, we're going to have to ask, are we called to be the sanctuary of the like-minded? Are we called to be the religious wing of the Democratic Party of the United States of America? Is it our purpose in life to be the best kept secret in religion? I don't think so. When we're honest about who we are as a community, it's not just that we come up against our imperfections, we come up against our best selves, our amazing selves. When we're honest, we know that this place has history. We didn't just come up out of the ether sometime in the 1960s. We've got thousands of people and countless events bringing us to this place, bringing us to a tradition that has something to offer the world. When we're honest, we know we have the power to say out loud that we will continue to fight all tyrannies of the mind, body, and spirit, that we will love the good and live the good at whatever cost, and that is a real message. I think it's safe to say that for a lot of us, maybe ourselves from a few years ago would be pretty surprised to see us sitting in a church on Sunday morning. I know mine would. He would probably be a little mad at me, too. We've got a lot of choices of where we could have been this morning, right? Sleeping, going out to lunch, seeing a friend, reading the New York Times. Something brought you here. The critique of liberal religion is often that we don't have a center. We don't have anything real to say to the world, right? That there's not a there. I think there is. I think that when we're honest, we know that there's something that drives us to justice that brings us to a place like this. If I'm a UU Christian, there's a reason why I'm here and not at the liberal Christian church down the street. If I'm a UU Buddhist, I came to sit in a pew and sing hymns with these people today and not at the local Zen center. Something brought me here. Now, for those who are either new to our community or visiting today, you'll find that there is a lot of theological diversity in a Unitarian Universalist church. A lot. And that's a good thing. It's one of our biggest strengths. But a lot of times we can use that strength and then tell ourselves this false story, that we're more different than we actually are alike. When we're honest, we know that there is something that has teeth in a place like this, something that is real. In our reading today, we read from the famous UU theologian and ethicist James Luther Adams. I talked about him last week in the sermon when he was trying to get us to believe in the prophethood of all believers. Now, Adams said that in his mind, there were five things that are central to religious liberalism. five core assumptions and five beliefs upon which the rest of religious liberalism hangs. Here's what he said. One, revelation is continuous. So here, an honest church knows that all the truth in the universe can't possibly be put into one book or one people or one time, that we have to keep searching for more truth. Second, he said that in a liberal church, all relations between people have to be based on consent and not coercion. In other words, an honest church knows that we can't make you believe something, that our religious education wing wasn't put here to stamp our ideas onto the minds of our children, but to invite them to flower and be themselves in relationship with us. Third, Adam said, we have a moral obligation towards justice. The honest church knows that we don't just serve the people who are sitting in this room right now. The honest church knows that if the people in the surrounding blocks and the people in the city don't know who we are or why we do what we do, we're not doing our job. Fourth, Adam says this. I love this quote. He says, we deny, quote, the immaculate conception of virtue. Here what he means is that good doesn't just kind of float around on its own abstractly in the world. That everything that happens, happens in relationship. I'm not just good. I have to be a good dad or a good son, a good friend, citizen. And fifth, he ends like this. The resources that are available for real change in the world justify in us an ultimate, although not always immediate, sense of optimism. There is hope in the ultimate abundance of the universe, he says. Now, he wasn't one of these naive religious liberals. Adams knew what people could do. He saw it when he worked in the underground church in Nazi Germany, but he came back hopeful. At the end of his essay, he says this. Thus, with all the realism and tough-mindedness that we can muster, the genuine religious liberal finally can hear and join the hallelujah chorus. Intellectual integrity, social relevance, amplitude of our perspective, and a true spirit of liberation offer us no less. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of honest religion I want to be in. One that allows me to have my intellectual integrity, be socially relevant, and have hope for the future of this world. I can't have one without all the others. We know that in an honest church, we have to say that religiously liberal doesn't mean religiously timid. But it does mean honest. It does mean humble. In an honest church, when we start talking about things like God or meaning or creation or an afterlife, we know that the real answer for us, if we're going to be straight up, is I don't know. We know that when we talk about what questions we want to ask here, how we got here is not as important as how we treat each other. What happens when we die is not as important as how to better love myself and this world. When asked to define what religious life was, the prominent UU minister, Forrest Church, said this, religion is our human response to the dual reality of being alive and having to die. We have so little time. What is it that an honest religious life calls you to do? At the very least, I think it asks of us to be that one more honest adult to our friends and our family and our coworkers and the world. We know that when we gather together in a place like this, it's not magic, right? We know that we can't make each other compassionate, that all of our prayers or hymns or sermons or pews, all of our pledge drives aren't going to remove violence or greed from the world. But we know that what we can do is be real, to give voice to our experience as we see it, and give voice loudly and proudly that we have a better vision for a world made fair. I don't think that honest religion is always something grand or overly philosophical. It seems like for me, a lot of the time, it's just the average common things of life. Honest religion might mean saying what I mean when I mean it, like I love you, or I'm sorry, honest religion and relationship with people might mean being present for my friends when they talk about their joys or sorrows and not waiting for what I'm going to say next. It might mean having the courage for us to give voice to those really uncomfortable emotions that everybody in the room is dealing with, but nobody wants to admit they have. It might mean learning to love one another in a world where we know we are imperfect. Honest religion asks every day, who am I? What masks am I wearing that I think are going to protect me from the world? And what are they keeping me from doing? Honest religion calls us to speak up when we see racism or violence or injustice, especially when it happens in our name. Especially when it happens in our name. In the biblical tradition, the Hebrew prophets talked about Israel first. My spiritual friends, let us be that one more honest adult for the world. Let's speak up to what we know is real and true and good and live it with all of our might. If we believe, like Reverend Adams said, that Revelation is not sealed, let us start to search for truth together. If we believe that this community can't coerce somebody, that it's an invitation, then let's start inviting people. If we believe that justice will be made with no hands but these, let's get ready for work. And if we believe that there is an ultimate hope for our lives and for the world, let's not be silent about it. Let's let everyone know it in our songs and in our words and in every action of our lives. The world needs some honest religion. What better time than now? Amen.